You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8 o'clock, top of the hour, ESPN 97.5. Welcome in, everybody.
Do y'all need a running back in Miami?
No. Yes, we do, actually. But
what about David Johnson?
For who? For
just,
what?
Just to pick a third.
You mean the guy the Texans look to want to resign as long as the money it works out for?
Did you see David was much better at the end of the year, Dell? Mm. He's a pass catcher. No, he's a three down back.
No, David's going to be here.
Yeah.
If you missed it, Duke Johnson.
Yeah, no. David Johnson will be
here. Oh, we haven't even talked about Nick Martin getting
cut. Yeah, Nick Martin's cut.
Duke Johnson, Nick Martin.
No. What do you mean? The third highest paid center in the league? How would you cut that guy?
What a bad deal.
really? Bill O'Brien made a bad deal?
I mean, he signed that in 19. He signed it in 19. And the general manager comes in and like, well, this is no good.
This sucks.
Scratch. Duke, no good. No, David can't. David needs to be.
No, David.
No, he's coming back. As long as they can David work out the money.
David needs to be a Dolphin.
No,
he does not.
No, David will be here.
Why, or a third.
Why are you ignoring?
A fourth that escalates to a third.
I just hate that Duke's gone because you can't say David Duke
you
anymore.
Can't call it, yeah. David Johnson will be back.
David Johnson is back.
No, he's not back.
Yes,
no
he
one
is.
Said that.
No, yes, he is.
They're no one said that.
They're going to restructure his deal. He may be back for 2 or 3 years.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
They restructured.
Did you see him at the last four games? Okay.
Yeah, it's nothing.
He's one of Jack's guys, so you know there's an in there.
Oh, my God.
By the way.
That's true.
You can't. Yes, he's a Jack guy. Hey, listen, you can't find running backs anywhere for a good price. You just can't. So this is you got yourself a deal in David Johnson.
I'm excited. You need returning.
You don't
good
have to get any more
guys.
About draft picks. What are you excited about the Texans?
All your draft picks are trash. I don't want any of them. But I'm excited the Texans are bringing back a good guy in the locker room. You saw him get better as the season went along. Now you got a bell cow back to lean on.
Stop already. Aggie Matt is here. What's up, Aggie Matt?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Great show as always. Look, I agree with you all. I do. Deshaun Watson, I think it really is time to go for him. I was looking at a list of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, and I think that's what we need to focus on here because as a fan, it is really exciting to watch. But we want championships, right? And over the last 30 years, other than Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson, who we don't even know if Deshaun will ever live up to be either of those guys, it's pocket passers. It's guys who are okay, don't have to get outside to make any type of a play. So that's what I wanted to say. I'll shut up and listen.
I don't understand.
He's suggesting that Deshaun isn't the type of quarterback that won Super Bowls.
You can't say that. You can't say that. Deshaun's a winner. He won in college. If he gets in the right situation, Deshaun absolutely can.
Well,
I would hate Deshaun to go somewhere and win a Super Bowl because you had him. You did it. You were the one. 11th pick overall. 10 teams passed on him. Mitch Trubisky was taken in front of him. I mean, it's just so – Patrick Mahomes, he sucks. I mean, it's so unbelievable. What you did as an organization that you – I mean, that was just awesome that you got a player of his stature, of his ability, of his everything, and then you just blew it. Then you just gagged on it. I mean, when he wins a Super Bowl, if he goes somewhere else and wins a Super Bowl, it's going to be like, oh, my gosh, you could have done that.
Well,
here.
You just have to be a chess player. Like, you know, the idea that Russell Wilson can win a Super Bowl and he can move outside the pocket, extend plays, all that stuff. You do have to be able to the chess thing means if somebody does this to you, you can counter and do this to them. Or a counterpuncher in boxing. Russell Wilson, if he needs to beat you from the pocket, he can beat you from the pocket. If he needs to extend, he can extend. Deshaun has to get to a point.
Well, Deshaun is there.
I think Deshaun's getting there.
Yeah.
I think even Quincy will tell you he's not there yet, but he's getting there and he's making movements.
He was good. He was really, really, really good this year.
Yeah,
he was really good.
He was a lot better. There were games that we came in here and said,
yeah, there were a couple of games.
I mean, I don't want to rewrite history but that we were like, Deshaun was unbelievable. His numbers are unbelievable.
No, but he was the whole team.
He's getting better. But that's the thing is you've got to be able, if somebody does something like the Titans did something to Lamar Jackson, his MVP year. They ran a certain kind of defense. He couldn't counter it. So you got to be able to counter it, and that's why. But you have to give players chances to grow and get better, because sometimes they will, and sometimes they don't learn to counter it. It's just like a guy who can't hit a curveball. You know, you can't hit a curveball. You never hit a curveball. Then that's all you're going to see is curveballs. Deshaun Watson has shown an ability to grow from the pocket. Now, does he hang on to it a little long? Yeah, he's probably always going to do that. That's probably he's always going to do that. So you try to work around that some, and you also have to just let him make some plays. Like his, you can still win. You know, Steve Young did some of that stuff. You can still win with quarterbacks who do that. You just you want them, if it's there, you want them to see it quickly, know how to get to it quickly, or know how to get out of certain reads based on the pressure that comes. So I don't like getting caught up in if you run around or if you're only in the pocket. It's different strokes for different folks still. However, I will tell you that the Kyle Trasks of the world, that's not going to be what the NFL looks for long term. You need to be able to extend. Mac Jones, that's kind of concerns me a little bit, is what's going to happen if Mac Jones gets in the system where he doesn't have a bunch of first rounders around him and he's on a bad team. I'm not sure it's going to go very well for him. Of course, it's usually not going to go well for most quarterbacks, but that's also an indication that you're a snap taker, not a playmaker.
Right. Well, that said, I mean, well, he's different than everybody else, but the least mobile quarterback in the league is in half the Super Bowls for over the last 20 years.
Because of his mind, though.
Because of his mind.
And he had some really, like, well, I think he made a lot of guys great.
No, he really did.
Julian Edelman. I mean, did we ever hear about Wes Welker? No. Wes is all right in Denver, but Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Moss is really, really talented, obviously.
Deion Branch and all those. I mean, he made all those.
Gronk, the two best players he ever had were Gronk and Moss, obviously. His running backs are just kind of okay.
Yeah.
His offensive line has been pretty good.
Yeah.
They had an undrafted free agent at center. They had a Shaq Mason's a 6'1" guard, you know, right guard. Like, he's made do with some things, too.
Yeah. 807 ESPN 97.5. Let's get Biscuit in here. Hey, Biscuit, what's going on?
Hey, man. Top of the morning to you, fellas.
How you doing, Biscuit?
Man, I got a couple observations, man. I'd be interested to get you guys' take on it. One, with the Rockets, man. I thought we established that small ball don't work, man. Why are we going back to small ball, man? I'm not understanding some of the stuff that the Rockets are doing. And Silas, man, he better be careful. He in the process of maybe losing the team, man. That's the only thing I see, man. One thing I say, man, everybody talked about Cousins, and to me, Cousins wasn't the biggest liability on the team. The biggest liability is P.J. Tucker, man. You got a dude to score 10 points in a week, and he's still in the starting lineup. I'm not understanding that. So that's, to me, where the issue lies with the Rockets. Now, with the Texans, my only observation or question I would ask you guys is, going forward, do you think they're going to have an issue getting brothers to come in here? And I'm just saying, with the Clowney, Hopkins, Dwayne Brown, Tyrann Mathieu, Kareem Jackson, it just seemed like a lot of brothers that went out the door, man. And what do you guys, and if the Watson situation is not being handled well, do you think there's going to be a problem? You know, of course, if you overpay, somebody's going to come. But if the money's the same, would somebody pick Houston over Cleveland or Detroit?
I don't. So to me, there was nothing wrong. Like, Matthew was just, that was just business. Kareem Jackson, they had for a long time. Kareem was treated well, kept for a long time. That was just business. The Clowney thing, I don't know. You can't control perceptions. I don't think Clowney doesn't have a lot of love around the league. The two that would fit into what you're talking about, Biscuit, are obviously D-Hop and then Deshaun Watson. Those are the two. If you want to turn it into that, then those would be the two that you look at, and there might be some players. Now, you're talking about the top-rated players. There's, like I said, you've got some bad teams, some bad ownership, some bad players. Players will come there. Even some pretty good players will come there. The Texans don't need to be built on free agency. They need to be built on, every good team is built on drafting. Draft, grow your own, and you have reasonable contracts in a first contract. So if you're relying on free agents, all this talk about free agents not coming in place, go look at the best teams are built through the draft, not through free agency. You spend a bunch of money in free agency. You overpay. You pay for someone else's player. They got them on the discount. You got to pay them on retail.
But even if you get drafted here, you still have the stigma of being a Texan.
I think Jack
is not a worse organization right now. The Jets, you've got New York. They've got a history. They did win a Super Bowl 100 years ago. You still have a name. You get drafted here by the Texans or you sign as a free agent, you know you're just – what you're doing is settling.
The city is an advantage for a lot of players. A lot of players like city. Yeah. A lot of players like the tax benefits.
Well, they like the tax deal.
But there's a lot of stuff to do in the city.
Yeah,
a lot of guys come in and party in the city, live here in the off season. I think the big problem that you run into – and this is not – and this doesn't count, but Jack Easterby. I mean, corny-ass dude who everyone knows is corny in the locker room with the players – the players think he's corny, but it's telling you the truth.
Yeah.
And I think he's the type of guy, if you think he's running the show, it's not. That's not a guy that's going to inspire a lot of confidence.
There's nothing. I mean, and Cal. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole thing.
The whole thing is just a
dumpster fire. It is a piling heap of deterioration.
But I truly do.
I like a piling heap, that piling heap thing.
Oh, that
I thought it was a steaming pile. Steaming pile.
It's a steaming pile.
Steaming heap, I thought he said.
No, steaming pile.
Was it?
Steaming pile of deterioration, I think he said.
Something.
No, it's a steaming pile of ship is what
it
is.
Oh, my God.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Did you ever see a steaming pile of ship?
It doesn't look good or smell good.
No. I don't want to get on that boat. I'm not getting on that boat. It's a steaming pile. You know what? I thought you needed insurance there for a second. I thought you had a heart attack.
Well, they only do. Now, TGS just says homeowner's insurance. I don't know. If you're working on my roof and you fall down off the roof, maybe my insurance covers. I'm not sure how that works. I'm going to make sure you're licensed and bonded and have your own insurance first. But I know TGS Insurance can offer you A-rated insurance, homeowner's insurance, for a lot less than a lot of companies out there. And it's A-rated insurance. And the reason's simple. There's nothing tricky. They just have competitive rates. And a lot of your companies, they'll offer competitive rates once you're out. But once you're with them and you're a client that has been very loyal, it's weird. But loyal clients are the ones who get taken advantage of in homeowners insurance. And if you don't believe me, just text the word money to 232323 and see what their homeowners rate is and find out exactly how much you could save. In many cases, the savings are going to be $900 and above. That's the average savings. And you can get your same A-rated insurance, but you can get it at a competitive price. And the entire thing can be done in one day. Like, it could be handled today. It could actually be handled much more quickly than you think. And your quote, your free quote, is going to come within 15 seconds. Text the word money right now to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:15 ESPN 97.5. So SpotTrac put out what they think all the free agents are going to get and best guess where they will end up. What do you think they think JJ's contract is going to be?
What do I think his contract's going to be?
Yeah.
3 years, $15 million. In some way, shape, or form. His AAV, his average.
His average is going to be $5
million? 15.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So three years, $45
million. I don't know the contract.
3 years, $45
million. Yeah, that's what I think. And I think two of them will be guaranteed, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what they think. 3 years, 45. What do you think they think Will Fuller...
It's less than what the Texans were paying him.
Yeah, 17 was going to be this year. What do you think Will Fuller's contract is going to be?
I think Will Fuller's contract, you're looking at, I don't think Will's going to be long term. I think Will's going to be more like 348.
That's 16 per.
Uh-huh.
They've got him at 585, which is 17 per. I would take term deal if I was him.
How many years?
Because he's injury prone. Take a longer tongue.
Well, I wouldn't offer it because he's injury
prone. Yeah, I know. Right. Well, but somebody's going to offer it. Somebody's stupid.
I don't know. The Texans aren't out there. Like, teams are not into long-term deals anymore because the wide receivers coming out are so talented now. They can get cheaper players who actually play.
Yeah.
Like, Will doesn't play.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a real problem. It's hard to find a 16-year season for him very often.
Yeah. There's some names out there.
How long did they say? 4 years?
Five.
They said five?
585.
You could do it as long as you're out. Look, the length is a little trickier because as long as you're out is after 3 years, it's a 3-year deal. So, yeah, you could say five. You could say five. As long as you can get out of a contract within 3 years, it's basically the same.
They've got Dak in here, 5 for 20. For 200, rather.
40 a year?
40 a year.
For Dak Prescott.
Well, dude turned down 33.
Who's paying Dak $40 million a year?
I don't know.
It's not the Cowboys.
45, 200.
I would deal Dak before I would rather swap him. Let him walk than pay him $40 million a year for that long.
Wow. Aaron Jones, 4 years, $50 million they've got. But that's what you paid David Johnson last year.
Well, that's good money for a running back these days.
No, that's really good money.
Yeah.
No. But Aaron Jones versus David Johnson last year.
Are you with the I assume you mean with Green Bay? There's been some talk about whether Green Bay would let him walk.
They've got him going to Miami.
Yeah.
You want Aaron Jones,
they drafted AJ Dillon for a reason.
Yeah.
In the second round. So, yeah, I think he will get some money on the open market.
Cam in here. Guess what they think Cam's going to get?
Cam Newton, 1 year, $7.5 million.
2.5.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 7.5 would have been a lot.
Well, they've got Mitch Trubisky, 2 years, 16 to the Patriots.
Back up or compete for a starting job.
Yeah.
2 years, $16 million total.
Yeah.
Whew.
Eight a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about. Well, especially if he's not.
You've already done the Cam thing. You're not going to. Like, who is going to take on Cam right now?
Yeah. No, but I mean, well, I don't know. Yeah, that's Cam.
You know,
he's certainly not an answer. But
no, he's not an answer.
Would it be shocking if he ended up here?
I was going to ask you the same thing because Bill Belichick apparently got along with him pretty well. Bill might give his nod to Nick Cassero. Yeah, he was a good guy. We didn't have any problems with him, yada, yada. He could be a bridge quarterback here. Oh. He'd be cheap.
Oh, that's what we get to watch. Here's a killer. Trent Williams is out there again. Trent Williams is on the market every year. They got him 4 years, $72 million. The Texans could have solved their whole problem. Not giving up any draft picks, had Trent Williams, who's still a good player.
When it happened.
When Dwayne Brown left.
So I think they have severely miscalculated the lifespan of a left tackle. Dwayne Brown's still playing good football.
Yeah.
Trent Williams is still playing pretty good football. Yeah, I think they really severely miscalculated. You could have done that 1 year deal with Trent Williams. Been happy with him and overpaid him, but still had him without giving up
and
picks.
Not giving up two firsts and a second.
It was just such the Tunsil deal is just going to go down. It really is going to go down as when you look at what was possible, it's going to go down as one of the just awful, awful deals from a money standpoint. I think Tunsil will be the next one who tries to get himself out of Houston. And if you trade him, you're going to trade. You might get a first for him. A first and a maybe a fourth, but you had to give him two firsts. You'll take a cap hit. It's just such. I don't even know you get a first and a fourth. I mean, I think you get a first. I think.
Yeah.
But somebody's taking on a huge deal.
Yeah. Jadeveon Clowney, what do you think they think he's going to get?
Oh, man. 2 years, 20?
1 year, 12.
Okay.
1 year, 12 from the Packers.
Look at this. Jadeveon Clowney has turned into a guy who takes a series of one-year deals.
That's it.
That's what he is now.
Yep.
He overplayed his own. First of all, he could have had a longer-term deal, but he overshot his own value. He had to get rid of Bus Cook, his agent, and now he's going to be a one contract a year guy because he's never going to want to settle for something that's not $20 million a year. So he's going to keep waiting and waiting, and he's never going to get that. So he'll just be a series of 1 year deals.
Yeah.
I told you my dad really liked talking to him. Heard nothing but good things about Clowney. I don't know if Clowney, the football guy, you know, if he's all in and all that stuff, but I know that, I know my dad liked talking to him and talking football with him. I know Alonzo liked him when he dealt with him. Danny Arnold, who he goes out to Plex, really enjoys him. Like, they have really good things to say about. But I don't think teams are really into him. I think there's just a thought that you keep thinking you're going to get something.
Get him out of here!
And it doesn't. Yeah, I don't even talk about the tech. But I think, you know, Seattle had him. And then the Titans had him. And now he's about to be on his fourth team. He came into the league in 14. And he's about to be on team number 4. And we're going to go on in season 2021. I mean, that's not a great look. 3 teams in 3 years.
No.
4 teams in 4 years.
No. He's such a talent. He'll keep making 10, 12 million a year. He'll just, you know, because he's so, and defensive line help is so important.
See, I don't think teams want to give him long-term lock it in money.
No.
Is there a concern about him?
Yeah.
Is he going to give you every, I mean, there's a reason the Texans were concerned.
And you would hope that he play hard because it's a contract year every year. That's motivation for him to play hard because he's in a contract year every year, so he's got to prove something. Astros started their season yesterday. They opened up spring. Belak didn't look good. Well, no. Brandon Belak's not going to look good. And what? Miles Straw led off. I'm telling you, they're going to give him his shot to see whether or not he can lead off. Ledmus Diaz was a cleanup hitter, which is perfect.
That's
perfect for him. Castro hit fifth. Okay. So I love the lineup right now. Straw, Altuve, Tucker, Diaz, Castro, Toro at third, Souza, DeGody, and Manea, the DH. I mean, I love that lineup. I really do. Straw got a couple hits, I believe. I'm pretty sure he got a couple hits. And Tucker had a hit as well. He looks bigger and he looks stronger, and we'll find out whether or not that helps him hitting wise. But Lance McCullers once again reiterated, and here's some Lance McCullers thoughts on here's Lance McCullers thoughts on Lance McCullers.
Yeah, you know, this is my last year contractually with Houston. I've been pretty open. I think that I've said on a couple of podcasts, and I've kind of said on Twitter that, you know, Houston is where I want to be. This is my home. This is where I see myself. So I would undoubtedly want to be here well into the future. You know, I think the real question would be, you know, do the Astros see me here? Do the Astros see me as part of their future? Because if the Astros see me as part of their future, as a big part of their future, then, you know, I would love to stay here if it makes sense for everyone. Houston's my home. It's been my home. I've poured myself really into the city, and I want to continue to do so. So if the Astros see me as a guy they want to keep and be a part of their future and help try to win more championships, then I think we can get something done, because there's really no other place, you know, that I want to play. But with that being said, this is a business at the end of the day, and I put myself in a very good position to have a monster year. And you know, business is business. So my preference would be here. To get, you know, some sort of extension or something done. But like I said, I'm well prepared to go into the season and have a great year.
Big league pitching, legitimate starting big league pitching does not grow on trees. And I'm a legitimate big league starter. That was part of that press conference.
Okay. Do you have a problem with that?
No. Oh, no. He is a legitimate big league starter.
Agree.
He's got he's also legitimately hurt every year. he's got one double-digit win season in his career. You know, it's a matter of economics. And you know, I don't know. I obviously players hold a much higher regard for themselves than teams do in a lot of instances. He is reiterating what he has said multiple times. I want to be a Houston Astro. When I go back to the, they just may not be that into you thing, because they haven't answered me. Well, that means maybe, I mean, if they were hot on your trail, they'd be calling you, hey Lance, let's get this done.
One thing is, a Houston sports fan that I'm over, and this goes back to T-Mac and Yao. I'm highly suspicious of deals involving oft-injured players. It's just the greatest ability is availability, they say. I want players who can play. If you're always, you know, with T-Mac and Yao hurt, you don't ever get a sense of who you can actually be. Those two guys hardly ever play together. And then you have, you know, you've had these issues with different players over the years. You always have to worry about Chris Paul. You always had to worry about Eric Gordon because he's got a history. Ryan Anderson, he had a history. I don't like building, you know, you get the feeling Daryl tried to get some players on the cheap based on being speculative due to their injuries. Injuries usually win out. Injuries are going to win out. And it's hard to see a player get injured less as their career goes on. Same thing with, you know, the same concern you have with once JJ started getting hurt, you had injuries and his play went down. Will Fuller doesn't stay on the field. Why would you want to give Will Fuller a long-term deal? Lance McCullers is a legitimate big-time pitcher. He's got phenomenal stuff. Like, when his stuff is on, he's one of the filthiest guys the Astros have. He's probably the filthiest. With that said, if you can't stay on the field, and last year you can't really point to last year, so we don't really know. Carlos Correa is actually the same thing as well.
Yep.
You know, give Carlos Correa a long-term deal when he's been hurt a lot. So it's a scary proposition, and I get what Lance is saying, and he's right. But here we are 5 years later, and we're still speculating on Lance McCullers. We don't know for sure if he can power through not just one season, but back-to-back seasons. It's still a speculative contract offer. So what do you give him? Well, you give him a team-friendly deal. That's what you give him. You think Scott Boras and Lance McCullers want to take a team-friendly deal?
Hell no.
But in this particular instance, who has the leverage? The team has the leverage. You're not healthy enough for you to have leverage in the situation. So if Lance is willing to take a reasonable deal, I would give Lance an extension. Probably not for the years he wants and probably not for the amount he wants. But they're not going to overpay a Lance McCullers right now.
The one of the big problems I have with Lance is the inconsistency. 3 2/3, 8 earned runs. 5-4 earned runs. 4-3 earned runs. 3 2/3, 3 earned runs. He looks awesome. He looks unbelievable. And then he looks like he's never pitched before. You know, he has those big, big outings.
What happens in an inning? It can happen in an inning.
If he can somehow control, get away from that big, big inning, mm-hmm. I mean, because that's like every third or fourth start, it's like, bam.
And don't you think that's just a mental thing?
Yeah, where he gets a runner on and he
gets we saw it when he was so dominant the game before, and then he gets in game 7. And he has 3 hit-by-pitches.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and I'm talking about in the World Series, obviously. 3 hit-by-pitches. He just lost control, and I think it gets in his head. And, you know, that's where maybe the whole sports psychologist angle could help him out.
Yep. I was just thinking he should get a Fromber.
It's not a shot. I mean, I'm like, for real, it happens with golfers, too.
Yeah,
it's a mental. You create your own issues.
830 ESPN, 97.5. Well, we've got issues here in the city because of the Arctic blast, and Jeff Aronoff is here for you. Jeff Aronoff can come and help you out if you had your ceiling cave in and all the water from the pipes that burst ruined everything. Or if you just, it's not only just about the Arctic blast. I know that a lot of people are out there right now scrambling to try to find somebody like a Jeff Aronoff. And it's just not about countertops. He can do the walls, the floors. He can do everything. He can redo that entire room or rooms that you had damaged and destroyed. And Jeff Aronoff, give him a call and let him come and let him see what exactly happened to you. And let him come and fix that for you and let him come and design it for you. He's a great to throw things off of, or he'll throw things off of you to say, well, you could do this, you can do this. That's easy. Take a look. Here's a book of what you need, of what your different options. Let's do this here. You can change it up. You can keep it the same. Show him what you had, and he can redo it. Whatever you want to do, Jeff Aronoff is here for you at 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is silly. Greenberg, Mike Tannenbaum, and Dan Orlovsky are talking about which QB is better, Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson. Well, did you have a higher grade on anybody than Sam Darnold coming out?
No, not in that draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Zach Wilson compare in any way, shape, or form a guy who played competition at USC versus a guy who played the competition at BYU? And you're going to compare Sam Darnold now on a Jets team devoid of talent with facing NFL teams to a Zach Wilson who's playing at BYU playing a schedule that was less than formidable.
Well, he could. That still doesn't mean that maybe he's not going to be a good quarterback.
Well, no, I didn't say that. It says which quarterback is better. How the hell can you tell?
Aren't you making it relative, though? Sam Darnold, you're going to have to get ready to pay soon. I'm not paying Sam. I'd rather go Zach Wilson than have to pay Sam Darnold if I'm the Jets.
Well, you better get something for Sam Darnold, then. I mean, if you're going to just kick that to the curb, you're going to get a new quarterback because you don't want to pay him every 4 years?
Or? I'd take anything.
I don't know what Sam Darnold is. Do you?
No. I'd take a third that moved to a second. I think that's really what you would. You have to have something trigger mechanism like the Colts had with Carson Wentz where you say, look, we'll give you a third, and if he plays 70% of the snaps for you, it turns into a second. Yeah. Something like that, maybe. And even that seems like, I'm sure people could make the argument, wait a minute, give me a second for Sam Darnold? For what?
Yeah.
And that's reasonable, too, to make that argument. I don't know. I would rather hit reset. If I'm the Jets, if I had a chance to reset and pay less money, I'd be fine going Zach Wilson. I think Sam can still be a quarterback, but I don't know. These years may have beat him up a little bit mentally.
When you're using that high pick on that same position, a position that you used the high pick on before. Mm-hmm. You better get something for Sam Darnold, and you better do stuff. I mean, I just,
why do you have to get something for Sam Darnold?
Here's the deal. Zach Wilson ain't going to be any better than Sam Darnold with that talent that he got down.
But they're going to have more talent.
Yeah.
Sam got to play 1 year with Mekhi Beck, and he was hurt partially.
Okay, great. You don't want to pay me. Oh, these years, I'm the Bo Porter of quarterbacks.
Are you trying to rescue Sam Darnold?
I'm the Bo Porter of quarterbacks.
He's Rapunzeling Sam Darnold.
No, I'm not. I'm evaluating Sam Darnold. I have no idea how good Sam Darnold can be because I've been devoid of talent around him.
And he was coached by Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Those are the two things combined.
Check.
I just tell you
check.
This. If you sat down and watched a bunch of Jets football, and I had to in a few instances for a few games, Sam Darnold missed a lot of passes. Like, Sam wasn't very good. Sam didn't have help, but he also had chances to make throws that he just didn't make. He just wasn't, you know, through late. Like, Sam didn't play very good football.
He may have David Carr syndrome right now.
It could be.
Could be.
And maybe he was never going to be good. We don't know.
Right. Well,
you don't know.
Sam Darnold is...
Did you ever see Sam Darnold play good NFL football?
No, but
I play really good college football.
All I know, every time some offensive player gets away from Adam Gase to get blitzed, gets better, so I will take my chances if I'm Sam Darnold. 23 years old. It's not like, I know he's been in the league for 3 years, but he was a young rookie. So it's not like he's 26 years old. He's still only 23. So if you believe in him slightly, I would say give him some talent around him and get him away from Adam Gase, and we'll see. I think you start over. I think Adam Gase is so bad with Sam Darnold, you start from scratch.
Of all of the options, if you want to know the truth, because you're not getting Trevor Lawrence, I like the Jets deal the best for Deshaun Watson because Sam Darnold's in it.
Really?
Yeah. More so than getting the third pick and getting Zach Wilson.
Who would you rather have, Sam Darnold or Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, Jimmy's done
Jimmy
more.
Went to the Super Bowl, but he had so much. They had some great defensive
running game. But you literally can't put – there's nothing you can hang your hat – and look, I was a Sam Darnold fan coming out, but realistically, there's nothing you can hang your hat on with Sam Darnold over the last 3 years.
No. But he comes here with all this talent, okay? And Sam Darnold is going
to
shine.
Sam Darnold's like, I ain't going to the Texans. I'm in a better spot right here.
You want nearly 30-year-old Jimmy Garoppolo here?
God, no. Is he that old now?
He'll be 30 in November.
How old was he? When he came out, my gosh, he was in that 14 draft too.
He's 29. He'll be 30 in November. He was 23 when he got 30-year-old drafted.
30-year-old quarterback doesn't bother me.
Yeah, though. But do you want – is Jimmy Garoppolo going to get better?
Yeah, I think he could. I think Jimmy – I think Jimmy's as good as he can be in that offense. No. That offense is as good as you.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's any potential growth for Garoppolo here.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm telling you, of all of the deals, if what the Texans end up with, I think they would be best suited to have Sam Darnold, the Jets picks. The Jets are the number one option. The Jets are the number one.
But Sam Darnold, to me, is not some kind of big, like, he's maybe added value where you see if you got a scratch-off lottery ticket with him. That's all that is. And then he is coming to a situation where offensive line will be better, presumably. Wide receiver situation will actually be a little better, possibly, maybe. It's not a good spot.
And you get picks to hopefully improve his lot. As well, I mean, it's not just Sam Darnold entering the Texans with Cobb and whoever else and Brandon Cooks. You get to actually draft players because you're getting Jets picks too, right?
Yeah,
dude, this is the leanest. I'm sorry, did you see James Harden? He looks like lean, like he was when the Rockets went into the Rockets.
Why do you want to talk about James?
I don't want to talk. What I want to talk about is why do we keep putting a Burger King crown on Cal?
I don't know. Somebody made that graphic and it just sticks. Where he's got his Burger King
stop
hat.
Stop sending that.
And he's walking around smiling with a Burger King hat.
He's got his suit on. He's got his overcoat. And he's got a Burger King crown.
If you guys missed
super
it,
excited.
At Lance, we didn't really get you. Did we get your thoughts on? You didn't believe it, that the Sage Roosevelt story?
Like I was
at the
on
end
the
of the
way
show
out
yesterday,
when it happened.
On Friday.
Right, we'll
and
play
I
it
listened
again.
To it. You got to hear what Sage says.
We'll play it on the other side. Let's get David in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, David. David, you there? No, David. All right. So on the other side, Sage Roosevelt told a story about Cal. This was in the last segment on Friday, right?
Well, maybe the second last one around there.
It's so disturbing. It is just, I mean, we definitely have to Zapruder this. This is so disturbing. And yet I know it's
totally believable.
It has to. Oh no.
It actually makes it even more like Tommy Boy. You know, people call him Tommy Boy.
Yeah, but Tommy Boy, actually, like Tommy Boy actually. No. But Tommy Boy, in the end, actually saved the company.
Tommy. Story hadn't been written yet, John.
This story's written.
This story hadn't been written yet.
Oh, really?
It's just the beginning, John. It's only the second act where things feel like it's falling apart. Yeah. We haven't got to the third act yet.
You know, you were hoping it was a movie. It's actually a series. And this
it's
is
a 10-part Netflix series.
Yeah,
this is only
a Netflix
episode 4.
Series with several episodes.
It's only episode 4. It's a 10-part series.
Seriously, what year? Is it every year he owns it?
I'm honestly hoping this was a short film.
Like this year, season one.
This was
this year, season one.
No, this is no.
And we just are coming up on season two right now. The cliffhanger
was whether Deshaun
was
traded.
When they got on the see to me the cliffhangers when they get all right after we just got done praying on it. Did you hear Jesus say Nick Caserio?
Yeah,
you sure?
Let's go and they get on the jet.
So
and
what's
they that's it.
You don't think the cliffhanger is Deshaun asking for the trade?
I want a trade.
That's the cliffhanger. All this led up to the ultimate.
Then they all just look.
And then they fade to black or cut to black immediately. Now season two is how the Texans deal with that.
It could be, but Deshaun asking for it. Yeah, I could see that. But I think taking off to go get Caserio, you don't know. Like, the Deshaun is your hook early in season two. Oh, no, what they say is they don't
say. No. Did you hear that? We've got our GM. We've got our GM.
Yeah.
Yep, we do. Let's get on the plane. And you don't know who it is.
That's what it is.
So is
that's
this
right? So that's what it is.
So the Deshaun trade thing is a season opener?
When they hold hands to pray,
season
when they premiere, hold hands season to pray, premiere? it zooms out and we have a different cutaway.
And then they're getting on a plane. Dell might be right.
Come on,
you can't open the season with Deshaun trade. That's got to be the cliffhanger.
That has to be the cliffhanger. Deshaun Watson. It has to be.
No, then, but it sets up season two.
No. Yeah, the cliffhanger.
Going to be Deshaun.
The Deshaun wanting out sets
that's
up
the end of one, and it's whole season.
As soon as you're like, oh my God, like we're having a real discussion.
Yes.
How you storyboard this, but yes. It's actually real. Like, this is what I would do. I'd say you don't, like John said, you don't know who the GM is, and you get the GM. It's like, oh my God, it's Caserio.
That's not
it starts the year, and then immediately, episode one. Boom!
See, you're
at
not
the
a,
end of episode one is runner. Where you start your cliffhanger. No. Deshaun wants out.
You can't
and
be a showrunner.
Sets the course
well,
for the, all the
no,
season.
No, listen. The whole first episode, if that's the case, the whole first episode could be the press conference where Cal, the bungling press conference,
yeah.
Where Cal is told what a numbnuts he is, and he just goes, "Hey, I did ice bucket challenge with you."
And then Deshaun says he wants a trade,
and then Deshaun.
And then season two is just about Deshaun wanting to trade. It's not during the season.
No.
Right now we're in the middle of season two, and the end is going to be when the season starts.
Season two sucks. You can't no finality.
Very much
you
the
don't
wire.
Have finality with your season one well, cliffhanger. You
Outlander. I'm watching Outlander now.
And Jack Easterby is Ziggy. In season two,
yeah, Outlander's all about France. In season two, I was like, let's get out.
How about Outlander season one? How did that? Shake you up.
No. Outlander season two.
No, I know they're in France, but season one, when moment.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't
Actually,
watch
my
it?
My wife watched it? No. My wife watched it, and she said, you can't watch it.
Oh, my God. I just finished watching The Head, which Dell had me watch. Jack Easterby's also Maggie.
He's what?
He's Maggie, the nurse.
I thought you tweeted me. You texted me. I don't want to give anything away if you haven't seen it. It's on HBO Max.
Well.
Is it good?
I liked it. It's got a nice twist of an ending. The Head,
Jack is one thing. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything.
That's it. We'll leave it.
844
at that.
ESPN.
Oh, it's worth it. The when head we, is worth your time.
When we come back, we're going to play the Sage Rosenfels. He described Cal McNair. You got to listen.
It's good.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And Dell was just in here watching Superman and Lois. I mean, it was like he was drooling a little bit.
I wasn't drooling. As I explained to you, I was just counting in my head how many times they've actually made a Superman show. And I think the WBCW themselves have already made two. That's all. I'm not going to watch it. I don't like DC stuff. It's not great.
He's a Marvel supremacist.
I'm not a supremacist.
Yes, you are.
I'm a Marvelist, maybe, but I'm not a supremacist.
A Marvel supremacist.
I'm not a supremacist.
Time to talk about Cal. So how old is... Do we know how old Cal is? 50?
He's got to be old. He's older than that, right?
Yeah. We got a Cal McNair. We got a Wikipedia... He is Sage Rosenfels got here in 2006, right? So that is 15 years ago. If Cal's 50 now, if he's in that neighborhood, it's not that hard to find. Where is it? I mean, yeah. See if you can't find it his age. So if he is, let's say he's 50, he was 35 years old when, or maybe even older when Sage Rosenfels got here. He had never met Cal. Listen to the story. He asks David Carr about Cal McNair because he'd never heard him talk. He's like, what's this guy like? And here's Sage Rosenfels talking about it.
And I got really nothing bad to say about Cal McNair. He always treated me really nice. He's open to conversations with him. But one time, my first year there, I was talking to David Carr about this. And David had just come from Cal's office, I think, to discuss something. I'm not sure what it was. And I was like, what's, and I hadn't really met Cal at this point. I'm like, what's Cal like? He's like, well, I walk into his office and he's sitting on the floor. There's no desk or anything. No way. And there's this huge TV on the wall and he's playing video games. I was like, what? What? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. And that's like my only really like behind the curtain Cal McNair story, other than that he was a really nice guy and sat, it was usually like his dad's right-hand guy sort of, and shake hands after game. You know, you come into the game after win and Bob's there to shake your hand and then Cal's there to shake your hand and then the GM's there to shake your hand. You know, I mean, he was a part of like upper management, but I have no idea what he actually did.
No one does. No, he played video games sitting on the floor. What? He's third. I know, right? Where's his, how come, where's his Wikipedia? Where's his Wikipedia page?
No, it doesn't have it.
Yeah, he's got a Wikipedia.
I know, he doesn't have his birthday in it.
It doesn't have his birthday?
Nope, no birthday, no age, anything.
How is that?
Let me check Internet Movie Database, see if
he... Well, this isn't a Wikipedia page. This is a decal. It doesn't have his... No.
Oh, it doesn't even have a...
Why doesn't it have his birthday
in it? It doesn't have a Cal McNair Wikipedia?
There's no Cal McNair Wikipedia.
Probably got it scrubbed. Oh, it's probably probably got that thing taken down.
Well, yeah, because...
He says he got his MBA from Rice in 95.
So his MBA, that's at least...
It's a master's. He's at least 54, I'd say.
So let's just say 70. He's 50. He's 50, 51. He's right in that neighborhood.
He was probably about 36 to 38 years old.
And he's sitting on the floor.
Not even in a chair. A comfortable chair at that. I'm playing video games. I don't hate him for playing the video games.
But wait a minute. He's got an office. This is now year four of the organization. Because this is 2006.
Yeah.
He's been there from the... I mean, he walks around following his dad for 4 years, and he doesn't have a desk?
So, Cal...
That's weird.
Cal graduated from Sci Fair in 79. Went to Texas.
No, Sci Fair in 79.
79. Oh. Went to Texas.
Oh, wow. That's 60. He's 60.
Yeah, he just got his NBA later in
61.
Life.
Hold on. He was playing video games in 47?
45, 46. Holy. He was born in 61 probably then. Because it was if he graduated.
But I mean, he's playing video games in an office with no furniture on the ground, cross legged. Because you can't play like this.
40-some years old, he doesn't have a desk?
What does he need a desk for?
That had to be his video game room.
No, but at least give him a couch. Give him something to sit on. Cal, do you think they just went, Cal doesn't need anything?
He probably did need anything.
Why are we going to waste office furniture on Cal?
Exactly. We're cutting corners in some places.
Are you kidding me? He was 40-some years old.
I pulled up Sci Fair football, and they had their alumni page, and he was a class of 79.
Oh, my God. He's 60 years old. He was 45, 46 years old, and he was sitting cross-legged on the floor playing video games. Oh, it's worse than I thought.
I consider it a blessing.
You feel good, right?
I don't think this is funny. In any
it's a little funny. I don't know how it can't be a little funny.
This is the guy that's running the organization that the city cares about more than anything.
Is he really running the team? Yeah. Or is he handing that off to someone else?
What do you mean, running this?
Is he really run? Isn't he just hand? Didn't he hand it off to someone to run the team?
Yes. No. Again, yeah. I go back to when they come in your office and they say, we're trading DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and David Johnson, you stand up and say, get the out of my office.
Or,
what does the owner do?
Or you say,
yeah. Well, that's what he said.
What does an owner do?
An owner says, no, we're not doing that.
Well, what does he do? What's his job? Like, I don't know what an owner does from a job standpoint day to day.
He looks at everybody. Are you all doing? How are we? Did we win four games? Well, you suck, you suck, you suck. You're out. That's what an owner does. That's what an owner does.
Right.
Okay? And then he hires good people to go run. And when they come to him and they say, we're going to make this trade, the owner says, no, we're not making that trade. I just put it in on Madden, and they won't let you do it. Madden won't let me do that trade. So if I
Madden is a tool of the devil, Cal.
No.
One fish, two fish. I've told you before.
See,
is there any chance one fish, two fish is something that hypnotizes Cal?
Right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
stop.
Does that activate Cal? Normal, he's a normal functioning person, and then one fish, two fish.
Him every time?
And it just activates him, and now he does whatever Jack wants him to do.
Cal, do the crip walk I showed you.
I'm telling you, forget Easterby. Forget Easterby.
Can we get
this
to the Rockets?
This is all squarely on Decal, okay? This is squarely on Decal and this ownership.
Almighty Dollar goes, man, this segment where Granado's lambasting a 45-year-old man for playing video games cuts deep. For the record, I always sit in a chair.
Yeah, you can play video games. I don't even care about that.
I don't hate on that. It's just
on the floor.
At their office?
On the floor with no furniture?
On the floor at a Texans, like an NFL office? Go home. You're counting there. You can go home and play video games. Like, Anna does. You know. Okay.
Was he married to Anna back then?
Let's be real. Oh, I don't know. He probably wasn't married back then.
Or to his first wife, but not Hannah. Hasn't he been married twice?
If he had a wife, she probably wasn't crazy about him always playing.
You know what we got to hear from? The first wife.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that should go well for Cal.
You want to dig into that? See if she hadn't been scrubbed from the internet, too?
How uncomfortable that it would be. Well, let's have her on. Listening to the show,
no.
Call in.
No.
No.
No, I don't want you to. And I don't want her to at least, because this is going to turn into a fake Cal's wife call. That's over the top. That's too much.
Well, if you
John Dockich,
if you type in Cal McNair and first wife, there's a story about how he met Hannah, not necessarily about what happened with the first wife, but there's a story from the Chronicle about how he met Hannah. 6 years after his divorce, Kyle saw a beautiful brunette at NRG Stadium, at a soccer match, and that was the first meeting apparently between Kyle and his now. Yeah, 6 years. It was 2012.
Oh, soccer match.
Well, the story was written in 2012.
Oh, 6 years
but he
after
saw
his
Hannah
divorce.
At a soccer match, and then everything else is history.
The story's written in 2012?
Yes.
And when did they meet?
I'm like John. I just read a couple lines.
Because I was at the soccer match when the friendly, when Ronaldinho was with Barcelona.
We went to I was sitting right in front of you.
It
was
No. This is 06.
It happened to be
Barcelona versus Club America.
It looks to be a game between the U.S. and Mexico. And Hannah Hartland had actually been trying to reach Cal for 2 years. She was a client liaison at her company, but Cal simply called back his friend rather than return her calls. So Cal was ghosting her, business related. And then
who dis?
And then Cal saw her at the match.
Oh,
and then things struck up. What are you? What are you laughing at?
Hey, Bear Linares. He's got Cal. He put Cal's face on Randy. Randy's in his underwear playing video games on a couch, and he put Cal's face. How about this?
No, I don't want.
Jackie retweeted this. He said, "This is gross negligence on the part of Bob and Janice McNair. This to leave Cal in charge." I don't know if I can read. I'll read the whole thing. This is Jackie Goss saying this. This is not Lance Zierlein. I ain't blaming that half-wit man child.
Yo.
I ain't blaming that half-wit man child who sits on the floor playing video games.
I can't remember the last time I heard someone call someone a half-wit in real life. That is a thing you hear in, like, Game of Thrones. You don't hear people get called half-wits.
Sitting on the floor.
He does have a giant head. That Burger King crown, I don't know if they had one. They had to get it custom made. 8:58. That's all of this segment. I'm done.
Somebody asked, do you think Cal had Yoo-hoo chocolate or Mountain Dew in his refrigerator?
I think he had Code Red.
Ooh.
Serious.
I feel like he's a Code Red guy.
Code Red back then would have been, that's back when they were doing all the, what was the And One mixtape tour?
You know, I think Cal loved Yoo-hoo, though.
Yeah. I think that's fits.
Yeah. I think he's a Baja Blast guy today.
Could be. 8:59. Take a break.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.